Hello, guys, and welcome to the Stretch Street Podcast. This is the energetic EJ, and I am super excited to be on another episode with you. I hope you're doing well. I hope your week has been going on well. So today on the show, I have this beautiful guest of mine. She's gorgeous. Oh, yes. And she is a producer, a broadcaster, a radio host, a presenter, an MC, a voiceover, a lot of things. But let me read to you her bio. Palesa Tao is an award-winning radio broadcaster, a voiceover artist, MC, facilitator, and reality TV star. She currently produces and presents the radio show On The Move on Channel Africa at the SABC, weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. On The Move won the best internet radio category at the 2023 Telkom Radio Awards, South Africa's most prestigious radio awards. Now, I have been privileged to be a part of that show, to be a guest on that show. Whoop, whoop. It's an award-winning show, guys. Okay, so I am hosting an award-winning broadcaster. So, guys, this is also a learning moment for me here because I'm about to learn from her 13 years of experience. Welcome, Palesa. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast, EJ. I am great, and I'm looking forward to our chat.
So I'm on
the other side now. So I was interviewing you, now you're interviewing me.
I know, right? Okay. Now, in your 13 years of being a broadcaster, right, and being this media personality, can you describe the most exciting experience so far? Can you even pinpoint it? Because I feel like you might have a couple, but can you pinpoint the most exciting experience you had?
Well, for me, it's a no-brainer. It's really, really obvious. And that's the moment where I won the radio awards last year. So in my 13 years of broadcasting, I had been nominated twice before, but I hadn't won yet. And last year, finally, I was just so ecstatic to finally win a radio award in South Africa's most prestigious radio awards. And it's something I've been looking forward to for a very long time and definitely a highlight in my career.
Love it, love it. I mean, you've worked hard for it, prepared for it, waited for it, and finally it was already delivered. Let us go back to the beginning. Have you always known that this is what you want to do? Like, this is it, this or nothing? Or was it like, well, I fell into it? You know, there are people who fell into their purpose or fell into their passion. What was it like for you?
Yeah, I'm one of those people that just fell into it, to be honest. I had no idea. I always say I have previous lives because I did so many other things before I got into radio. And how it happened is I was working in another job, in another industry, another field. And a friend of mine had just heard of a local community radio station that had opened in my area. And she was like, you know what, I'm so nervous to go. Please just come with me for moral support, right? So I'm like, okay, sure, you know, I'll come with you for moral support. And I went. And because the station was fairly new, she auditioned, did her thing, and she got a slot. But the programs manager was there on the day. It's like, you know what, we just need more people. Why don't you try? I'm like, me? No. What do you mean, you know? But I tried anyway because I've got such an adventurous spirit and I like trying new things. So I tried. And, you know, as soon as I got behind the mic that day, the bug had bitten me and I fell in love instantly. So immediately I was like, okay, I want to do this. I'm enjoying this. And so I started doing radio on the weekends. So I still kept my job and I was just doing radio on the weekends. But as I was doing it every weekend, I felt like my passion and love for it was growing stronger and stronger. And I started hating my job. I started not even liking going to work in the other industry because all I really wanted to do was this radio thing. And so about a couple of months in, I took a decision. I was like, you know what? I'm going to pursue this radio passion full time. And I applied for an internship in one of South Africa's biggest youth radio stations called YFM. They have an academy where you are an intern, which also correlates with like a study program. And I went to auditions and I got a place at the academy. And immediately when they called me, I remember I was at work and I put down the phone after the news. I walked straight to the HR office and I told them, guys, I have to go. I'm done. And yeah, that's where my journey started.
Wow, you never looked back. And it's just been from one level to the other and just growing and growing for the last 13 years. Do you see yourself doing this till you retire, if you ever will retire?
Yes. First of all, I doubt I'll ever retire. But yes, for now, I do see myself doing this for the rest of my life. Although I pursue all my passions now at the same time. I mean, obviously, I'm not just on radio, but I'll do voiceovers and I do, you know, all the things. But I think as I was discovering myself and growing older, I realized that, you know, all my passions lie with my voice. So when I speak to people, either, you know, motivational, when I MC, when I sing, because it's something that I can also do, anything that I can do involves my voice. So that's my power. And I won't ever retire, because in as many ways as I can, I'll use my voice until I die.
Absolutely love it. Love, 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 love it. Okay. So now I know it's not been all rosy, right? I know that. I mean, the industry, anything that has to make you be in front of people can't be easy. There's always like the downsides that comes with it. What are some challenges that has at any point in this 13 years made you go, gosh, I wish I just stayed where I was. Like, I wish I didn't choose this path. Has there been any challenge that tough? But if not, what are some challenges that you faced?
My particular journey has not been easy at all. I think it has been the furthest thing from easy, to be honest. I took a huge risk because I was a very young mother. I had my son when I was only 17. So I had to pursue all these things in my life, but be cognizant of the fact that I had big responsibilities. Mm. So I quit my job, obviously, to pursue radio. And in the earlier years of my entire career, I was working for free. I was volunteering in stations. I was an intern. So earning either very little or no money at all, you know. Mm. But and of course, you know, I mean, in African communities and African families, nobody really understands jobs that are outside of, you know, the mainstream. So yeah. I get pressure from family, friends, communities, like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Go find a real job. I don't understand what this is. You know? And I was like, you know what? This is my real job. And even when I wasn't getting paid, I only took myself that seriously. I was like, this is my real job. I put in 100%. I mean, there were times when I was doing what they call graveyard slots. So like the slots in the middle of the night. And I didn't have a car back then. So I was using public transport. And I'd go to work, do my show, and I had to wait for public transport to come, you know, for the morning. So sometimes I'd be sleeping in the studios all night and waiting for the sun to come up so I can catch the first, you know, taxi home and then do it all over again the following day. I've had a lot of challenges. It's not an easy career to navigate, especially so because even though I've been in the industry now for 13 years, I still feel like I started a little bit late, but I think that's just, you know, something that I'm hard on myself for discovering this passion and this talent I had a little bit later in my life. I think I was around in my mid-20s, you know? So yeah, I had a lot of challenges, but I was sure about what I wanted to do. And I had to close myself out from the noise because I knew that eventually I would gain so much more from following this passion. It was my trust, my belief that I was going to make it eventually. So even though people are saying, you know, go find a real job, we don't know what you're doing, I stood by it. And yeah, the outcomes eventually were great. So even my same family members who thought I didn't have a real job, now they see, now they see, okay, wow, this is what it was all for.
Wow, that's good. That's a good one, knowing that, you know, you took that leap of faith. And, you know, you kind of answered my next question that was going on in my head, saying, you know, what were the things that were your anchors? And you just mentioned them, your belief, you know, the belief that, you know what, this is it. This is what I'm designed to do. This is what I'm called to do. And just holding on to that. But I just wanted to go a little deeper in explaining, because I feel like there are people who are right now where you are, and it's, even though, even in this dispensation, you can see, like, it's clear there are jobs that didn't exist 10 years ago that are now a thing, you know, like virtual assistant. Like, there wasn't that. I don't think it was like 10, 15 years ago. There wasn't anything like you could actually say, no, I'm a VA. No, you know, but now these things, you know, are real, right? But, you know, I want you to just share something practical, especially in how to respond, or when you said you had to shut out the noise, what was that like in practicality? Because I still see a lot of young people now who are unable to communicate it to either their guardians, their parents, or the people who are, you know, older to them, that are pressuring them to say, get a real job, but they can't even find the words to say, but this is my real job. It's just that I'm building the brand now. It's sowing season. My harvest season is coming. How would you help them communicate that with those who are sending that pressure to them?
You know, it takes a lot of knowing of self. First, you must really make sure that, you know, you are here and you know what you're doing. You know, you should believe in the words that come to you. So you have to reinforce yourself positively first before even trying to, you know, put it out there and explain it to others. Be sure of what you really want to do. And yes, they'll ask you, you know, this is not real. And especially, you know, a lot of people see something real as immediate gratification, the money. And if you're not making money, that means your job is not real. And sometimes, especially in the media industry, it takes a while to build up your rapport, to build up your reputation to a point where you actually start making money. So when they say that, I mean, sometimes there isn't much you can say. You can tell them, you know what, you can show them your vision. They might not understand it. You can say, there's so many radio broadcasters who are doing well. You can name them. You can show them your path. But at the end of the day, it's about you showing action. So no matter what they say, you get up and you go. You know what I mean? If you get negative feedback, you still get up and go. Because sometimes so much of that feedback has us starting to give up, and then we don't give a lot of ourselves to what we believe in our craft. So it's not really about them, but it's more so about you. You can't convince people who don't want to be convinced, but what you can do is continue putting in the work, because you will get the reward and they will automatically see in the long run. So don't focus too much on convincing them. Focus more on putting in your work.
The work. I love it. I love it. So again, that's a powerful word. And I know it's easier said than done, because even you, so the convincing of self, I think, is the hardest. believing that, okay, this is really my sowing period, and saying, okay, I'm sowing this seed. I'm doing all there is in the books for me to do. It's not coming back right now, because there is a gestation period, and I just need to continue to show up until that gestation period when it would happen. But, you know, I mean, even in your journey, I'm sure you've also seen other people go through the same path that you're currently on. Have you seen anyone who, after putting in everything, things still didn't happen for them? Have you seen any story like that before?
I have seen those instances. They happen. And at some point, I feel like I was that person. There was a point where I felt, hey, you know what? I've been putting in years of work and nothing is happening. it's not moving, it's not going anywhere. And it took a lot of prayer and it was self-convincing. You know, there were so many times where I was convincing myself to say, okay, right. You know what, maybe it's time for me to do something else. And maybe it's time for me to let go of this dream. So yes, I was also that person at some stage, but you know, thank goodness to the power of resilience and not giving up. But it is not an easy industry. So many people do fall through the cracks because you need a lot of mental strength to hold on to something that looks like it doesn't move. You know what I mean? It's almost like sitting there and trying to watch a tree grow. Even if the tree is growing, you're not physically seeing it move, but it grows over time. So yes, a lot of people fall through the cracks if you don't hold on and you're not resilient enough or you give up. Yeah, so many people fall through the cracks. I mean, the media industry is one where there's like limit, there's always limited capacity of who comes in. So there's so many people at the door waiting to come in and wanting to come in, and some make it through and some don't. But I feel like that happens in every industry. You just literally have to hold on.
Right, right. Would you say building a personal brand added to your staying power, especially in this kind of industry or in any media industry? Would you say having a personal brand outside of just being a broadcaster on a radio station or on a TV station or on a program, having your own personal brand, would you say it adds to that staying power to eventually get into your destination?
These days, yes. You know, these days, I feel like in my come up, it wasn't as important because, you know, a lot of people weren't even using the word, you know, you're a brand and so on. But these days now in 2024, absolutely. There are other ways to push your way through and push your way in. And that's by working on yourself, working on your social media platforms, finding other avenues to get yourself or your name out there. I feel like it's gotten slightly easier because of that. You can actually work on your personal brand first with the goal of making it into media, and social media can propel you to that point. In my career, not so much up till this point. I mean, my career is still like halfway there or a quarter of the way there, so I can absolutely still use that, but not in the way that I came up. Right now, absolutely. It's so, so important to build that personal brand, and it can open doors for you.
Right. So are you doing that in your own journey? Like, are you trying to build a personal brand now? And what has that been like? What can we look out for your personal brand that kind of give that, would I say, like a simple or distinction between you, Palesa, on the radio, on a station versus Palesa as a brand?
Well, I've done so many other things, you know, just in my personal capacity. And at that time, it wasn't because I was trying to build my personal brand, but it helped. So I don't know if you know, I was on a reality show called Survivor, and I've done two seasons. So Survivor South Africa season 6, and I was on Survivor South Africa season 9. And when I went there, for me, it was just for my sense of adventure. I was like, oh, this is cool. I want to try it. You know, I'm a very adventurous person. I've got a very adventurous spirit, and I like trying new things. But simply for being who I am and being genuine, being authentic on that reality show, people got to know me. A lot of international Survivor fans, you know, got a liking to me. And that's definitely something in my career that's helped build my personal brand. And I just went there and I was myself, not knowing that just being me could attract that attention, you know. I did a lot of things. You know, it takes a lot of strength. It's just another conversation altogether, that show, to be honest. But those are the kind of things that helped me. And even just being a little bit more serious about, you know, social media, for me, it's been a little hard because sometimes I have a bit of anxiety towards social media, you know. I like to use it for entertainment purposes, to entertain me. But it's so much harder to put yourself out there and be, you know, post regularly, voice, do this, do that.
Thought leader.
yes. So I'll still say I'm also still learning, which is a working great thing progress. Because I love learning. It also, you know, speaks a little bit more to my sense of adventure. So I'm still growing as well in that aspect, and I'm still learning, building my brand. It's a continuous thing. Because absolutely, even as you grow older, or, you know, as you explore who you are, your brand continuously changes because you're continuously changing as well.
Yes, yes. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. So, I mean, in the conversation we've had so far, you've said some things that, you know, your experience has taught you. And one of the things that has jumped at me is the fact that you said your authenticity, just showing up as your authentic self, has now turned out to be like a tool that you didn't even know existed or was a toolbox for you, which is, you know, something that has added to your personal brand. Are there any other learnings, you know, anything, any other thing that you'd say, this is something your experience has taught you that you want to pass on to anyone who's watching this right now?
I think mixing your strength with your vulnerability. Because sometimes the media industry teaches you that, you know what, we don't have time for, you know, all the emotions and all of this and all of that. There's a lot of harshness that comes with it. And being 13 years in, there was a point where I had blocked off my emotions towards my career simply because, you know, my experience was, it's a harsh place. Just do what you have to do. And, you know, we don't have time for that. But actually showing a little bit of vulnerability is something that's also allowed me to grow closer relationships and build a network, something that's so important in this industry, you know, building a network. Expose yourself a little bit to that and allow yourself to show some strength in your vulnerability as well. So, you know, being yourself holistically allows you to just explore the different sides of yourself and also build relationships, because one of the things that are very important in this industry is relationship building and networking.
Right, right. I love that. Just build yourself, and I love that the mixture of authenticity and vulnerability. And I think people are really scared of vulnerability because of the harshness that exists in the world generally, and just like people will come for you, like even when you're trying to be the best version of yourself and you're trying not to step on toes, people will still find something to to pull your toes, to make you scream. Yeah. How do you, as we round up, how do you deal with criticism really as a media person? Because again, even though you got into the industry in the dispensation where, you know, literally, and I understand when you said it's a very stiff place, it's like even if somebody dies, the show has to go on and you cannot, you know, come up and say, I just lost my dad. No, you have to do your show and then go cry later.
The show is about to start.
Right? So, but how do you deal with criticism knowing that, you know, you are out there and people, everybody has an opinion of who you are, even when they have zero idea of who you truly are. How do you deal with those criticism that comes with this job?
I think now, because I am more certain of myself, and I've grown into understanding who I am, for me, criticism is positive because I can look into it. I can remove, I guess, the hatred from the criticism and look at, oh, where I can improve, which is a great thing. Criticism is feedback nonetheless, and all feedback, both negative and positive, can grow you in some way, as long as you don't make it about yourself. So when someone criticizes me, I don't make it like a punch to who I am. But I can use that criticism to see where I can improve. So you need to distinguish that, because sometimes when you get criticism over and over again, you end up feeling unsure about who you are and your own worth. But if you know who you are and you show that you are worthy, you can take criticism put aside the hate and learn something and grow and build.
Ah, nothing truly beats just knowing who you are and being confident in that person, because then it's like you throw it at me and I use it as a stepping stone to my next level, because now I can see through, look at it objectively and say, okay, I see what you mean there, even though the way you said it is quite unacceptable, but I will take what is mine out of it, use it, make myself better and grow. And I just love it. Woof! So good. Finally, as we round up, any project in the works for Palesa that we need to look out for?
Well, you know what? There'll always be projects. Like I said, throughout my life, I concurrently explore everything that I am. And my own personal motto is that I'm pretty sure God will not take me. I will not die before I have explored and used each and every one of my talents and my passions. So yes, although I'm a broadcaster, I continue being a voiceover artist. I love speaking to people. So I like emceeing events. I like hosting events and I love to motivate. So I do speaking engagements, and I'm going to explore a lot more of some of those parts, especially the speaking part. You know, being in rooms where we build each other, we motivate one another, and we grow together. And it's definitely something I will continue to explore and look into and grow in. But yeah, all of it is part of who I am, and all of who I am has to be explored.
Ooh, love it. Goes with my saying. I mean, it's not my saying, but it's saying that I adopted. I think I heard Les Brown say it over and over again, and I've just adopted it for myself. Like, I'm gonna live fully and die empty. So every potential, whatever it is gonna find expression, whether it works big or works small, I'm just gonna use it and know that, okay, I used everything. I'm dying empty. I used everything. And I love the sound of that. What would be your final words for any African young lady watching you right now? Now, I know I didn't go deeper into your personal story about being an early mom, because at 17, that's quite early. And, you know, still with that, building what you've built and continuing in it, you know, with this sense of groundedness, sense of understanding and confidence, right? And I just feel, can you speak to a young African lady? I have to bring it to back home to Africa, because, you know, there is a lot of, I don't know how to put the words now, maybe it's like self-criticism that comes with us. And so when there is just that little, I can't call it little, when there is a setback, because it might not be little, right? Depending on who it is with. But when there's any type of setback of such, like being a young mom, you know, an early mom, or like dropping out of school, or like being a victim of abuse or anything, it kind of mars the journey, you know, because we just hold on to that pain and keep telling ourselves why that pain is the reason we can't move forward. You see, so what would you tell to any young Black or African woman looking at you right now and thinking, how did she do it? You should have asked more questions and everything. But I'm going to say, just go and follow Palesa and find out. But yeah, what would you tell that person?
I think I would tell them, as long as you are alive every morning, your purpose is still alive. So, you know, earlier I said, I don't believe that I would die without fulfilling all my purpose. So in that same sense, every day when I wake up, I'm grateful. And I know that means that my purpose is still alive. So it's so easy to give up. But why would you be alive if there was nothing else here for you? You know, there's so many difficulties. Life is rough. Life is tough. And you'll come across the challenges. But believe in yourself enough not to give up on yourself, because people will give up on you, you know, and you have to be the only one that makes sure you don't give up on yourself, because that's more detrimental than others giving up on you. You know, what you say to yourself is more powerful than what others say to you. So be grateful for the little moments because every small step means something and is a step towards what you want to achieve. So don't look down on the small stuff, you know, don't look down on the small achievements, because those are the ones that are stepping stones towards your future and what you're looking for. So always be grateful for them. I do a lot of celebrating, you know, I celebrate every little thing, but that's because over time I've understood that it's not just the big achievements that deserve the celebration. And so when you are alive, be sure every day you're alive is a certainty that you are still in the right path and you can still make it.
Love that. I love that. You see, that word on gratitude is really big. It's something that I've had to consciously and intentionally say, hey, girl, this you have to. It's something that you need to build into your system to be a part of you, because otherwise, like you said, the challenges will keep coming. They would never stop. As long as we're still breathing, there will always be something that would pull you down, that will make you sad. But you have to make the choice and the conscious effort to just count your blessings. And gratitude is one way to do it. Celebrating every little win is one way to do it. Like I used to be one, like, I just look out for only the big ones. And even the big ones, I don't celebrate. Like, once it's done, it's like, yes, done. Next, let's go. Right? But we need to get to that point where we take time and take it in and really like, oh my God, I just did that. Oh my God. Like, thank you, God. Like, wow, we did that. We make that move. We added that little thing, right? And I think it's important that we remind ourselves. Otherwise, we'll always keep feeling overwhelmed and like the world is against us, when in actual fact, we're doing the best that we can for where we are with what we have. And that in itself is a win, you see. So thank you so much, Palesa, for being such an amazing conversationalist. I mean, if you weren't, like, who will? Like, if you didn't. Thank you so much,
EJ.
I really enjoyed this conversation. Honestly, I could speak with you all year, and I'm just like, let's go. Let's keep talking. I love you.
Yes, can we make this, like, can we make this 30 hours?
Better rest assured that I'm going to come back for more, right? And maybe not in the session of a podcast, but like you said, when you mentioned that you also, you know, like to speak to people, you know, to kind of inspire young people and just generally people. I know I have a couple of communities that I'm a part of and that will always have need for speakers, you know, to just come talk about a certain topic. And yeah, we just need to look at the topics that you talk about, and then we just invite you to come inspire us, because also I just love to see this pretty face, like, oh my gosh,
yeah. So and I mean, it's a beautiful thing. We need to build a network of you know, aspiring African women, and we use those networks to build one another but also to build others. So yeah, absolutely. It's a beautiful thing to get to talk and build our network together.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, Palesa. I know you are a very busy person, but thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to do this with me. And hopefully we are going to have more collaborations. I can't wait to visit South Africa. And I can't wait for you to visit Dubai. So please, if there's anything you're coming to do in Dubai, better let me know. Like, EJ, I'm coming.
Of course I will. Thank you so much, EJ. You are truly amazing. You're phenomenal. And I really appreciate this conversation today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, guys. I know. Yeah, if you keep looking at us, we'll just keep gisting like you're not here, but forever. I know you're there. And I just want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for watching or listening to this episode. I'm going to leave Palesa's link to our Instagram and her channel on radio so you can actually listen in. She is an amazing interviewer. Oh my God. I felt so good when I did the interview with her on her show on Channel Africa. So yeah, I'm going to leave the link to all how you can connect with her to follow the work that she does. And yeah, remember, challenges are not exclusive to us. So keep facing those challenges head on. And while at it, just keep noting down the life lessons that you're learning, because those lessons are the things that are going to make you more valuable to the society and, you know, make you yourself more grounded as a person. All right, so let's come your way again next week on another episode on the Stretch Street Podcast. This is The Energetic EJ. Bye.